hesitate. Take a picture you could never recreate. Write a song, make a note.
And welcome to the Sarcastic News Show. My name is Justin Cross. I am so glad to be here live, not dead, but live from the Skid Row Studios in the heart of LA's urban camping corridor. Mm-hmm. I'm here with Sarcastic News contributors. Used to be an executive producer in the show, yeah. But he's missed the last three of them, so we've demoted him to janitor. Yeah. Matt Sugar Mills.
Hey, what's going on? I was hiking the Appalachian Trail with Mark Sanford, so
oh, really?
I apologize.
Oh, yeah. Well, yeah. All right. That's okay then. We also have contributors Jake the Snake Cranny, great sideburns.
Oh, thank you, thank you. I'm going to go out on a limb, and I'm going to say tonight's going to be one of the best four shows that we've ever had.
Well, this is going to be our fifth show, so
one of the best five.
Wow,
shows. It's
wow.
Going to be top five.
We also have regular here, mainstay, social media ninja Michael Porter.
Like a rock. I just like to hang around. Actually sleep here.
Yeah, Porter literally got here about. What, 45 seconds ago? What was going on? What was up with that, man?
Well, there was a lady barking like a dog on the bus, so they had to pull over and kind of let her off so the rest of us weren't armed. So I ran here.
You're sweating right
yeah,
now.
Yeah, I ran here.
It's literally sweating for the viewer, for the listeners at home. And joining us, really classing up the joint, local comedian, actress. That's right, actress. I said, she's a girl. Residential hot girl, Jeannie Aguilar, joining us. Jeannie, thank you very much.
Hi, thanks for having me.
I'm excited about this. Jeannie is actually the girlfriend of Mark Hamilman, if you remember from last week. And we got done with the show, and I said, Mark, thanks for doing the show. He goes, you know what? My girlfriend would be excellent. I said, good, because you weren't. No, I didn't say that. He is very good. And special guest in just a little while, special guest writer from Sports Illustrated. That's right, baby. We're getting big. Sports Illustrated, Nick Zicardi joining us. Now, I got to pump this up in the beginning here. I want you guys to call in. We got something really cool. 800-893-9562. That's 800-893-9562. A lot of shows have poll questions. Where they have listeners call in and talk about different questions. On this show, though, we don't have a poll question. We have something a little more dramatic. It's a little more off the cuff. It's a little more straight from the balls. It's like Rick Sanchez, Bill O'Reilly, Geraldo, and Jim Cantore wrapped into one over-the-top, egotistical, testosterone-filled musing. Nick, I want you to cue the music here, okay? For dramatic effect. That's good. That's good. Cut it.
Yeah.
Cut it.
We left out the toilet flush sound,
hey.
Which was probably a good decision.
We call it, folks, the Sarcastic News Snap Reflex Gut Reaction Survey. We don't do polls here. We do Snap Reflex Gut Reaction Surveys. And I just, folks, I just had an aneurysm right there. That music was riveting. And I have to say, tonight's survey... Here it is. Do you give change to homeless people? That's the question. Do you give change to homeless people? Yes or no? You can call us again, 800-893-9562, or you can tweet us. What is it? It's at SarcasticNews1, or you can say hashtag SN Radio. And we want you guys participating, getting in on that. The reason why we ask that as our snap reflex gut reaction survey is because last week we're walking from the show down to the bar next door, 7 Grand. And we're approached by the most persistent homeless guy. Porter, you were there.
Yeah.
The guy had like one tooth. And he looked like he literally just got ran over by a Mack truck, but he was so persistent. And I was, the whole time I'm on the phone with my agent, as I usually am after these shows. And that was a beer cracker. Professionalism. All of a sudden, my entourage, including Porter, was like, no, I'm not giving you any money. And finally, I was like, guys, what's up? What's up with that? So I pulled off to my phone and I gave him everything in my wallet. I gave him 37 cents, guys.
Persistence pays.
And an unused condom.
It was used, okay? Okay.
I'd also like to point out
it was recycled.
I'd like to point out that Justin Cross's wallet is made out of a Jacksonville Jaguars duct tape.
That's true. That's not a joke. That's actually a true story right there. It's I got to be honest, I'm feeling great tonight. I am feeling amazing. Two nights ago, this is why, I went and got a Supercuts Tea Tree experience. I don't know if you've ever gotten the Tea Tree experience at Supercuts, but it's
tea
a moist
experience.
Tea tree experience. Okay. Exactly what I just said.
All right.
It included a moist hot towel along with, I have to say, the most sensual scalp massage I've ever received in my life. Mind you, I've never received a scalp massage. It was amazing. If you've never done a Supercuts tea tree experience, you have not lived, folks. It was like an orgasm on my head. The whole time, I'm not kidding. I was clutching my chair. My mouth was agape. My ex-girlfriend, I don't know why, but she was down there feeling up my prostate. And I was moaning aloud. My head tickled in ecstasy. It was amazing. After my treatment, I step outside of Supercuts with my barber / masseuse, Kayla. And I had one of the most relaxing Parliament cigarettes of my life. I felt relieved. I felt accomplished. I felt like coughing a lot because I don't really smoke. It was a little weird. But the point is, I am feeling great tonight, folks. And tonight, we are going to begin tonight's show with our top story of the week. Not the potential American intervention into the 2-year Syrian civil war. Not the ongoing immigration debate. And not the vote of the Alabama State Senate to absolutely ignore any federal laws against gun control. As if there are actually federal laws against gun control. We're talking gay basketball, baby. We are talking NBA journeyman and 7-foot-tall center Jason Collins. He came out this week in the SI and the Sports Illustrated cover story. Collins, if you don't know, is the first ever active male athlete on a major sports team to announce that he's gay. And when hearing the news, I don't know if you guys caught this, but former NBA power forward Dennis Rodman tweeted that he was, quote, extremely jealous of Collins. He actually he called the announcement of Collins, he said it was quite the attention-getting ploy, adding, and I know a thing or two about ploys. And if you didn't follow Rodman's career, all you need to do is just simply Google image the guy. All right. And you'll see what I mean. Rodman constantly wore women's garments from wedding dresses to bras to women's makeup. Not to be outdone, though, Rodman announced on Wednesday that he is set to meet with NBA Commissioner David Stern to help rewrite history. If Stern approves, all NBA teams Rodman played for, including the Pistons, the Spurs, the Bulls, and the Mavericks, will officially list him on all past rosters, not as a power forward, but as a power bottom. Now, going back to Collins, here's the deal, folks. The biggest surprise of this whole thing, it was that there wasn't one. In fact, dozens of athletes, including the LA Laker, Kobe Bryant, they came out in support of Collins the minute that he did it, along with Presidents Clinton and Obama. Now, since Collins is currently in the offseason right now, and it's up in the air as to whether he'll return, because he is a free agent, 12 years, we're still unsure of how this is actually going to go over if Collins signs with the team next year. What we do know is that no matter what happens, TNT's sideline correspondent Craig Sager will undoubtedly be wearing the gayest Easter egg outfit in the building. Seriously, if teams and fans can accept a gangly white guy with a bowl cut wearing a purple pimp suit and a Tommy Bahama tie, I think we can handle Jason Collins, folks. All right? But the real question, though, to me is, will we have a gay football player come out this year? You know, is it going to happen? To go on record, I don't know if there is a gay football player currently playing. I mean, statistically speaking, you would think there are actually several.
Is Tebow still playing?
No. They don't even want him in Canada, apparently. But here's the deal, though. Like, that's what I'm thinking to myself. Like, you know, we at Sarcastic News, we don't have any information because we're the most trusted name in bullshit. Okay, we don't do news. But as comedians, I think we all agree here. All right, we strongly hope that the potential gay football player who comes out plays either fullback, tight end, or my favorite position, wide receiver. thank you. Moving on, though, this week the Senate took up immigration reform. That's right, an 800-plus page bipartisan bill is set to go in front of lawmakers in the coming weeks that would potentially lay a path to citizenship for millions of immigrants, while at the same time putting billions of dollars, to making borders, quote, more secure from immigrants coming from Mexico. While there seems to be a fairly even split from politicians as to the support of the bill, a recent Pew Research poll showed that many Americans admit to not knowing much about the bill. In fact, the same poll showed that most Americans form opinions on the immigration debate from unreliable sources, which include reruns of the Comedy Central show Mind of Mencia, George Lopez comedy specials, bumper stickers on the back of pickup trucks in the South, trips to Home Depot, and CNN. That's right, CNN. And finally, the FDA, I don't know if you caught this, the FDA ruled that 15-year-olds can now purchase the morning after pill. That's true. The justification, yeah, Porter's smiling about that.
Justification,
yeah, yeah.
What
do you mean?
There would have been
your day.
Yeah, there would have been.
I think you're good now. Yeah,
there would have been three less Porters wandering the street.
Oh, man. But the windowless white van would have still looked weird.
Right.
The justification is that in many states, 15-year-olds can obtain learner's permits to drive, and that the idea of parenting could cloud what would be a very tempting new feeling of freedom, of self-discovery, of power. I'm talking about driving, guys. They went on to explain that it makes perfectly good sense that younger teens and adolescents are fine to raise children because, in the FDA's words, quote, students really do make the best teachers. And with that, we're going to be right back. We got a game from Matt Nassy. It's called Celebutard or Politician. Right. It's a game where we find out if a quote was a celebrity such as Ryan Lochte or Lindsay Lohan, or if it is actually an elected official. So stay tuned right here. Guys, call in about the poll question. Oh, not a poll question. Our gut reactive reflux reaction survey. 800-893-9562. Stay tuned right here on the Sarcastic News Show. Sarcastic News Show. That is a popular band from the early 1990s, Crisscross, of course. Mm-hmm. Yesterday, actually. Which one of them died? Was it Chris or Cross?
It was Chris. It was Chris Kelly, better known as Daddy Mac, passed away, unfortunately, of a drug overdose. So we thought we'd play that song in his honor.
Yeah.
Not to be confused with Mac Daddy.
No, Daddy Mac.
Daddy Mac.
Oh, yes. Daddy Mac.
Daddy Mac.
Yeah.
Oh, man. That's sad. I'm not going to say I was a huge fan, but it's obviously sad when anybody dies. But.
Well, and we all grew up in the 90s. So.
Totally. We all remember that song.
Yeah. Yeah.
I still play that every morning to get myself pumped up for the day.
And he still puts on his jeans backwards.
And like, we said, Porter dates girls who were born in the 90s.
So. Yes.
Yo.
That's right.
All right. So, Matt Nassy, go and take it away here.
All right.
Love you, Tarter politician.
Yeah. So, we got a game here. We're going to be talking, you know, I think everyone hopefully has checked out the new hot reality show. What would Ryan Lochte do? So
no.
We have all. Yes.
No,
what would he do? I'm actually asking.
I don't know. I feel like he just sits there and flexes his pecs the whole time. Is that not true?
You know what? I haven't even seen the fucking show. So what should I say about
it? This is going to be great.
Anyway, so, you know, the other great reality show on TV right now is politics. So we're getting a lot of we're getting a lot of quotes coming from both sides, and sometimes that leads to a lot of confusion. So that we'd play a game where we're going to guess if it's celebutard or politician. Unfortunately, no theme music is going to be playing us into this bit, but Maybe just.
Oh, you know, Nick, hit the reflex reaction.
The dramatic.
Sound. Yeah. Let's get dramatic here.
Reflex reaction.
The thing you played earlier.
I already closed the window.
All right, let's just go into it. We're ready. We're primed.
Right,
we're ready to go.
It. All right.
All right. So first couple are going to be kind of easy. So let's see if it's going to be celebutard or politician.
All right.
So first quote here. I've talked in front of, like, a lot of big business people about stuff I didn't even know. Who is that? Celebutard or politician? What do you guys think?
I'm not going to say it because I actually know that one because we went over this.
I'm going to go politician.
I'm going to also say politician.
Politician. Yeah. No, that is actually, timely enough, Ryan Lochte.
Those are
the gems you're going to get in that show.
Okay, that was like a warm-up one. Okay.
Yeah, next one might be a little bit of a warm-up too. All right. I think war is a dangerous place. War is a dangerous place.
That's got to be...
Celebutant.
Celebutard.
Oh, I just made them classier than...
Yeah, celebutant. Yeah.
That's only
reserved for Kesha. Yeah. And Lindsay Lohan.
I'm going to say it's a politician.
I'm going to say politician too. It sounds like a George W. Bushism right there.
Jake, you are right. It is George W. Bush.
I'm right too.
All right.
I was actually more correct, Cross.
Because there was an elaboration after that. Okay.
All right. Next one.
Come on, Jeannie. You're 0-1 right now.
I know. The first one I had, but all someone right. didn't let the chick talk.
Ooh.
Yeah, he just went around the table and skipped me there.
Keep the claws in.
All right. Man. Yeah.
Wow.
Okay.
Oh, this is going to be good. They're sitting across from each other, too.
All right. Here we go. I believe in an America where millions of Americans believe in an America. That's the America millions of Americans believe in.
All right, that's George Bush. That's George W. Bush.
George W. Bush.
That sounds very presidential.
Like something a politician would say.
Yeah.
I'm going to say that's a celebutard just to be different.
All right. No, that's a politician. That is Mr. Mitt Romney, president.
Catcher's Mitt Romney.
Wow. Yeah, that's true.
Oh, man.
All right. And moving on. Next one. I'm not sure about the parties, but whatever they have in Korea, that's bad.
Celebutard.
Celebutard.
I'm going to say celebutard as well.
Politician.
Porter says politician.
Celebutard. That's Paris Hilton, I bet.
That is Mr. Justin Bieber Esquire.
Wow.
So celebutard.
Okay. All right. Well,
All right. A few more?
Let's do two more. This is a decent
one's kind of a tricky one, actually.
Okay.
I think gay marriage is something that should be between a man and a woman.
So let's go to the lady first.
Go.
All
right.
Politician.
All right.
I'm gonna also say politician.
Ooh, that's really dumb. I'm gonna go celebutard.
That's a good one.
You know what? It's a little bit of both. It's the Governator, Arnold Schwarzenegger.
Oh, that's a trick question.
I think he's a politician these days.
All right. Yeah. Although he's trying to work his way back into celebutard.
How's that going?
It's not
going
to happen.
Yeah, I don't know.
Let's do two more. Okay, let's do two more, and we're gonna do Jake and Jeannie versus Porter and I.
Ooh.
All right. So you guys have to come to a consensus. All right. This is how we do things on the show. We make them up as we go along. So, all right.
All right. This one might... Well, I'm not going to say no. I'm just going to go right into it. All right. People go tanning because they like to feel tan. You feel more sexy when you're tan, and I don't understand why you would tax on that.
Celebutard, obviously.
Cross, what do you think?
No.
I'm going to go politician, too.
I'll go politician.
Is that your final answer?
That's our final answer.
Yeah.
That was Mr. John Boehner.
No,
actually, it was Snooki.
There it is.
He is orange, by the way.
Yeah. I wasn't surprised, honestly, by the
Don't toy with us, Mills.
All right, so...
Can Jeannie see? Are you looking at the answers?
She can, but she hasn't guessed right on the ones that... She doesn't have a fair advantage.
I'm not good at cheating. Yeah.
Okay, last one. Here we go. This one's also a little bit tricky.
Okay.
My fingers are long and beautiful, as it has been well documented, are other various parts of my body.
I'm gonna hop in right away and say that was a quote from Jake Craney.
Oh wow. Wait, your fingers or your
dick? Do you want me to read it one more time? My fingers are long and beautiful, as it has been well documented, are various other parts of my body.
Maybe Ryan Lochte? Somebody like
All right, so you're saying celebutard.
I agree.
Let's go politician.
I'll go politician. We'll go politician on the side. You guys can go
All right. You know what?
Celebutard.
Okay.
This one's also kind of a trick question. It was Donald Trump, who technically is a celebutard.
He's a celebutard.
A wannabe politician. Okay.
All right.
So we won, right?
That's what we got. Yeah.
Yeah.
I will declare, Porter and Cross,
right,
you guys.
Yeah. All right, so after the show... our team owes you guys owes you guys a whiskey shot at $7,000 next door.
Ooh.
That's what we're going to do. A whiskey shot at $7,000 next door. We're really trying to get $7,000 to be a sponsor, so I'm going to say $7,000 as much as I possibly can.
They need the business.
And
they're good. Yeah.
Yeah.
All right. Well, that wraps up Celebutard versus Politician. We'll be right back. Call in, guys. 800-893-9562. Weigh in on our reactive survey. We are talking about homeless people. Do you give them money or do you not give them money? Call in 800-893-9562. Twitter.com/SarcasticNews1. We'll be right back. On the Sarcastic News radio show, Jake the Snake. Who was that from groundsounds.com?
That was Youngblood Hawk. A song called Danny Boy off their brand new album.
Wow, Danny Boy.
They're good.
Real quick, tell us, groundsounds.com, Snake, tell us a little bit about what do you guys have going this week? Like, what's a good band that we should all tune into, that we should listen to?
Oh, man, good bands. Well, you got Youngblood Hawk there, just came out with a new CD. You've also got Airborne Toxic Event, came out with a brand new CD. The new Kid Cudi's really good. You can just visit groundsounds.com. Check it all out. Get some new tunes.
Visit it. Visit it. Just go
just
by
to
it.
Visit.
Just stop
Pay
on.
Pay it a visit.
Say hello. All right. So this is a section. This is a mainstay here on the Sarcastic News radio show. This is our segment that we like to call Groupthink. And tonight, we're going to lead off with our gut, our Sarcastic News Snap Reflex Gut Reaction Survey. And we are going to ask the group right here. We're going to start with Jeannie. I'm going to ask you, what do you think about it? Do you give money to homeless people, Jeannie?
It depends on the situation. If they politely ask me and I happen to have a dollar, then yes. But no more than that. It's very rare that I actually give paper money. But I was driving down National and some dude knocked on my window and I thought I was getting carjacked. So I screamed and then he just said, stop faking it. And I'm like, thank God, if you're trying to beg for money for crack, like you should not be scaring chicks that are in the car by themselves. You know,
you totally rolled up the window right before he came to your car, didn't you?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
Wait.
Everyone does that move, by the way.
That's right. Wait, yeah. No, that you locked the door?
Yeah.
So he said to you, stop faking it.
Stop faking it when I screamed. He scared the shit out of me.
So he was, wow. it was like Mark during sex.
Oh.
That's right.
Yeah,
for those just tuning in, that's his boyfriend. Yeah.
No, that's it. So you have you don't go above a dollar usually.
No, never.
So you got $5 in the wallet. Say you have like five singles in there. You're like one single and that's it.
Oh, yeah. I'm kind of hiding, like digging through my purse, pretending like it's all I can find kind of deal.
Okay.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay. That sounds hot.
Do you take cards?
Sounds real hot.
Well, actually, one guy at the gas station yelled at me because I literally had no change. I just cleaned my car, just cleaned my purse out. Just had my ATM card and he just thought I was lying to him about not having any money and he tried to pull the scam, the gas station scam, like, oh, let me, you know, I need money to drive home or whatever.
Yeah. Wow.
Yeah.
I've never heard that.
Crafty.
I've never heard of the gas station scam. Yeah. What do you do, Matt?
For what, the gas station or for in
Jake,
general?
What do you do? Stay, tell us what you do.
I do not give money to homeless people and I'll tell you why.
Okay.
Yeah. Because it really doesn't help. I think people do give money to homeless people and feel good about it. It makes them feel better. It makes them feel like they're helping, but it's really not helping. It's more of like, you know, putting a Band-Aid on a bullet wound. You know, it's like somebody's extremely sunburned and you give them a little dot of sunscreen. It doesn't help the actual issue and it doesn't get their lives back on track by giving them, you know, 50 but cents.
Do you think that you're going to do anything good by not giving them money then?
No, but what it will do, what it will do is it'll reinforce
being an ass.
No, it'll reinforce to them that, hey, I can just look sad and beg for money and people will give me money. And that doesn't help them either.
Yeah. Well,
I think they should be like Wall Street and just steal it. No,
if
go
we're
ahead.
Giving
yeah.
money,
no.
if we're giving money to somebody, it should be to homeless shelters so that they can right. have a, you know, a bigger staff and they can take in more people and they can start helping.
Well, okay, but well, the reality I mean, is, but the reality is, do people really do that though? I mean, or I mean,
if,
I don't know.
Some people do, but it's better than, you know, throwing 50 cents at a homeless guy so he can get a hot dog. You know, it helps temporarily, but it really doesn't do anything to help their situation.
I'm sort of with Jake on this.
Thanks, Porter. I love you.
Not all the way. Not yet. I think, like for instance, I was on my way here and I was running and I saw this guy on the side of the road and I gave him my donut. I really wanted it, but I figure, well, he looks pretty hungry. I might as well just give this to him. But to what you were saying, you know, you're right. You know, we get this sense of like, oh, I gave this guy $2. That's great. But what are they going to do with that $2? Like, you don't know. But I think you have to just kind of say, well, whatever they do with it after that is their business, you know.
What do you think, Matt?
You know, I think lately I've decided that it's really how much effort they're putting into wanting the money. I'm not. I was driving out of Ralph's yesterday, and I saw this car, and there was this guy, and he had this like multicolored poster. I mean, he literally looked like he was wherever he was, just got a bunch of arts and crafts and like macaroni that he found in the dumpster and like decoupaged this whole sign. And it was, you know, clever and he had a smile and people were giving him money out of the car. And it's,
really? They
got to earn it, man. They got to make an effort. Yeah.
On the other end of that too, I think you were telling me about this, Justin, like a few weeks ago, there was a story about a homeless guy in Aspen who all he did was basically ask for money in a very rich community, and he made $70,000 in 1 year.
Yeah,
really.
Being
yeah,
a homeless, a professional homeless person.
There's wow. a dude in LA on, wow. in a documentary, and he did 140. I mean, he would save all this money, and he would go buy like I think it buys you one rack of rock of crack was what he would go buy in this particular situation.
Yeah.
But
yeah.
I don't really even think it's about that, and I do give money to charity, and I try to make an effort to do that. I think it's just for me, like. I don't know if I necessarily feel better, but a dollar here and there, I don't really think is that serious. Right. And I'm not trying to make it into a huge issue. It's just a dollar. If that's going to buy him a hot dog at 7-Eleven, awesome.
Yeah, because I think where I'm coming from with it a little bit is that you don't know what they're going to do. And yeah, like the old Greg Giraldo joke, you know, yeah, people are like, oh, they're just going to go use it to buy cigarettes and beer. He goes, well, if I was homeless, I'd buy that too.
Yeah.
You know, or he goes, that's what I'm going to spend it on anyway.
Right,
you know?
Right.
But it's one of those things that you don't know. Maybe like they have to, you know, obviously they're just trying to, yeah, they're trying to band-aid it. And maybe they are actually looking for work outside of that, you know?
Right. Well, and I've seen, there was actually an instance where there was this kid who's right out of college. And he went in the middle of Beverly Hills and he had a sign and he said, I need a job. And he wore a suit. Mm-hmm. And I think he wanted to break into the entertainment industry. And he got like he had his resume and he was handing it out and he got a job.
Don't tell people my biography.
I was going to say too, there's so much people have PTSD, you know, these are veterans, these
right.
are, you know, people with drug problems clearly.
Right.
And we should be giving our money to efforts that, you know, would help them out as far as that goes. But
yeah, we absolutely should. And some of it would actually make me feel worse too, because I would give a homeless guy money, but I can't give everybody money. So I would feel bad that I gave somebody money over another person. And like, you know, you can't help everybody.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Okay. All right, Matt's giving me a signal. Just tell me what the signal is.
Oh, hell no.
Next topic.
What Jake is saying.
Next topic.
No. I want to hammer this home.
We will not leave until we solve the crisis of homelessness.
Here.
And not the South Parkway where we just got put him on a bus and sent him to Santa Monica. Yeah.
Here's a question I have for you guys. I talked a little bit about immigration a second ago. What are your thoughts? What are your thoughts on the immigration bill? Do you think it, you know, if you kind of look through the bill itself, it's 888 pages. I don't know why you wouldn't.
I read it before the show.
Yeah. I mean, yeah. Just in your leisure time. But do you think that the bill in general is a good thing? Like, it's a good compromise because it is a bipartisan bill, right? It's got support on both sides. And certainly it does, you know, form some sort of pathway to citizenship. But at the same time, it throws a lot of money and resources at you know, protection against the border and building a wall and the resources like that. Is it a good start or should it be squashed? Or what do you guys think about that?
Well, it seems like a step in the right direction. You know, there are a lot of people who are willing to work and, you know, kind of make an honest living that have been waiting for a while. Mm-hmm. So for them, it does give them kind of a way in, I guess. And that's good.
Yeah. Yeah.
I agree. It's a step in the right direction. I think it does well for the people that are already here, you know, that we're not just going to be like, all right, get out of here. But at the same time, like throwing a whole bunch of money and resources into building like, you know, Pentagon style security over the border is, I don't know if that's going to necessarily get passed just because I think it's going to run up against a lot of opposition.
Right. Yeah, well, that makes sense. What do you think, Jane?
I think it's a step in the right direction as well. And furthermore, I feel like other countries are doing better economically because they have these people willing to work for lower wages. And why don't we take advantage of this pool of workers that we have and like let's start, you know, building factories again and producing things because we're not exporting as much as we should be.
To that point, that's a good point. So, you know, one of the arguments is that it's gonna take away jobs from Americans, right?
Jobs that we don't. A lot of people
yeah,
don't want
exactly.
to do.
Right, we don't want to do. Do you think that's the case or do you think that it actually will take away jobs and it will hurt the economy?
You know what?
I mean, is there any validity to that in your opinion, Matt?
No, I don't think so. Look, I'll be honest. I think that this is a really tough issue that a lot of people just don't know what the right side is or meaning the political sides of it. I to tell you the truth, I don't know if it's the right step in the right direction or not, because I don't know how it's going to affect where I am, where I live. You know, we're all in Los Angeles, which is a really diverse city. I mean, how is that? What is the right path, you know, or what is going to take away from what we have now or that, you know, I do believe that people who are here illegally shouldn't be taking advantage of some of the benefits that people who do pay taxes. But at the same time, I do really hope that there is a way that they can become citizens, that there is a path to it. Right. But to tell you the truth, I don't know. I think it's one of those difficult things to gauge how it's going to have an impact on our economy. I do agree with the point that, especially in Los Angeles, that there are a lot of those jobs that, frankly, you know, people who are educated or skilled won't want to take.
And there's a lot of American citizens that are taking advantage of the system as well.
Right. Which I agree with. Yeah.
Yeah. So if we have people that are here that are willing to work and, you know, and I read in an article that there's, you know, several thousand people trying to get here legally, but you know, there's so much red tape that I know it took my mom didn't become a citizen until I was 7 years old.
Mm-hmm. You know, here's what I think is my frustration with it and why it seems like a really frustrating, topic for our governments to really kind of wrap its head around is because it just seems like it's been years and years and years of buildup and laziness and not taking any action to really help those that are trying to get here fairly or that really want to have as much opportunities to it. It's almost like dealing with a giant backlog that everyone's kind of ignored for the past however many years.
Let me ask you guys this. Terrorism. Does immigration contribute or does it diminish the likelihood of terrorism? Terrorism, that is, by the way, is what I was trying to say. You're at a loss for words.
Well, no, because...
You're at a loss for words, aren't you?
Yes.
Yeah. I think they're separate issues.
Yes,
terrorists come from
exactly.
here.
It was interesting. The reason I bring it up is because the Washington Post, there was a part of a survey that the Washington Post did about, you know, it was right after the Boston bombings when this legislation was supposed to be proposed, and they said, well, is it even related, you know? But it was like, does it affect it negatively, does it affect it positively, or does it not correlate at all to terrorism?
So, no.
What do you guys think? Anything? Did anybody think that it actually does make a difference?
Other than isolated incidents, I don't really see it as a correlating issue there. I think it's kind of two separate things.
I'll say this. I think, and maybe not in this country as much when we're talking about Mexico and the U.S., but I think it actually diminishes terrorism. And the reason is,
yes,
is because you get, if people are immigrating to different countries and you're truly becoming more and more of a melting pot, right?
Mm-hmm.
It there becomes less of a target. There becomes less of a stigma between right. one culture, white America, so to speak, and like all the, you know, the different blendings of different cultures. Right.
And that's the message that we need. You know, I think the reason why I was at a little bit of a loss for words is because the fact that there are politicians that are
Jeannie right in the eyes and you're like, damn, Mark.
Well, it was one of those moments. Did you feel it too?
No, Justin, what you said can go the other way too, though.
Well, but just finishing the thought real quick is that I think the fact that there are politicians who are saying that it is tied for terrorism is completely the wrong point. And that's what's going to lead to terrorism is the people that living out of fear.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Snake, you want to add to that?
I was just going
to
say what you said can go the other way too, is that if there's a whole lot of a specific group that comes into an area, the people that are already residing in that area can then feel extreme like resentment that they're coming in. It's not like, it's not like a big happy melting pot always.
But that seems short term, though. That seems short term, the resentment part. Long term, bigger picture, I feel like.
Yeah.
Okay, I want to go ahead and take some calls here. It sounds like we got some callers. Let's go ahead and who do we have here on the line? Who do we have here?
Hello.
Who are you? Identify yourself.
Hi, Justin. How you doing? This is Jim.
Oh, Jim. Jim.
Thanks for taking my call.
Glad you're on the show. Weigh in.
I don't normally give money to the homeless, but I'm driving home from work on a Friday. You know, good mood. It's Friday. Stopped at the store to at a local supermarket, pick up some beer. So I'm walking to my car, and this young girl comes up to me. She looks about 14 years old, and I have a daughter who's 13 years old, and says, sir, do you have any change for my dad standing over there? We don't have any for some food. And I normally don't give money to people, you know, and they're always standing at the supermarket.
So you gave her a beer?
I'm holding a beer, and she's asking money for food. And so, you know, I gave her a dollar, I gave her two, and she looked at me like, is that all? And almost like if you're at the zoo where you give an animal something and they grab it from your hand, she grabbed it from my hand, walked away, and I felt, wow, you know, here I am. I normally don't do this, and I had a bad feeling inside me, that kind of turned me off from giving money to people asking at the store where you see that question.
Yeah, in Jim, and Jim's a big fan of the show. Jim in Rancho Santa Fe listens every week with his family, his lovely family. And Jim, I got to ask you, though.
It's a family show.
It is. It's what this is, especially.
I keep my 13-year-old daughter away from this.
Keep her away from Porter, really. That's but Jim, did that affect... down the line when you got asked, you know, I'm sure it happens a lot, you know, people come up to you and ask you, so did that one experience diminish, you know, now when people walk up to you, are you less likely to give them money now?
Yes. Yeah.
Really?
Yeah, I am. It gave me such a bad feeling. I thought I was doing something good. And,
Jim, you did do something good, and I'm going to tell you why. Not because she was a brat, but because her dad is making her go and ask people for money. I mean, that poor kid, if you didn't give her anything, she probably would have gone home and...
Well, the
gone
fact that her dad would take her to do that, I felt that they must be desperate, or you know, they
no,
really
he
must
that's
to
a
take
scam.
Your daughter
he,
to.
What a terrible person!
Yeah.
Well, Jim, thank you so much.
Thanks for taking my call. Love your show, and looking forward to more shows down the line.
Okay, thank you.
Thank you so much, Jim in Rancho Santa Fe, right there. Jim in Rancho Santa Fe. We got another caller. Patch him through, baby. Patch him through. We got to take one or two more before our break here. Before we bring Nick Sicardi, who do we have on the line? Okay.
Did we drop that call?
You still got him? Okay. Nick's patched him through. Who do we have on the line here? Who is this? Identify yourself, goddammit. What?
You offended somebody.
I know.
Maybe I'll have Jeannie take the call. Are you on the line?
It's not that kind of show. Hello?
Going once.
Just once I want to say to somebody, turn your radio down, please.
Turn your internet down. Is anybody on the line?
Hey, what's up, guys?
Hey, who is this?
This is Cliff in Hollywood. What's up, Justin?
Oh, Cliff in Hollywood. Hi, Cliff. This is our social media guru. I meant to call in earlier,
but you know, going to my destination, I was asking some guy for directions, and he threw a donut at me.
You met my friend.
Yeah. Well, no, that could not have been true, because you're not 14 years old and female. But anyway, Cliff. So, do you give money to homeless people? Tell us about that.
It depends on the situation. So there's been times, and I have a couple stories if you guys have the time, and I'll keep them short.
We don't.
When I was younger, we ran into a family, and by we, I mean my mom, my grandmother, myself, and this family was in front of a Lucky's supermarket, which was a big chain on the West Coast back in the day.
Back in the day.
And back
remember
in the day,
it.
And they were asking for money. It was a family of four, and my mom and my grandmother felt really bad for them because they had kids. So they went into the store, and they went to the deli, and they bought them sandwiches, chips, sodas, you know, everything. Took it out to them, and the dad said, "What am I supposed to do with this? My family needs money." And for my mom, that was it. You know, that memory was too much in her head to ever donate money to the homeless ever again.
Really?
My own personal belief is if I'm walking down the street and there's a guy, and this kind of goes back to the argument of once you give them the money, you know, you kind of don't have to worry or concern yourself what they do with it. If I got a dollar in my pocket and this guy's asked me for change, that guy, you know, for whatever reason, needs that dollar a whole lot more than I do. And that dollar isn't going to be best spent going to a shelter because, you know, if I'm going to give the charity, I'm going to give them a whole lot more. So that dollar is probably going to go a lot further for this guy asking me for, hey, man, you got a quarter, you got 50 cents. Mm-hmm. And more recently, my wife and I were on our way to Vegas, and we stopped off in Barstow, and there was a family of four, and they were on the corner, and it was about 95 degrees outside. And we had just stopped to get gas, and we picked up snacks, and I had these large bottles of Aquafina water, and that's all I had. I didn't have any cash. They had up a sign, said, you know, food, change, anything. And the kids were sitting on the concrete next to the stoplight and reading books, and just they looked like they had been out there for days. And I said, I rolled down the window, said, hey, man, all I got is this water. And the dad picked it up, and he looked back at his family and goes, hey, guys, you need some water. And the kids said, yeah, we need water. And the dad looked at me like, he just had tears in his eyes.
Wow.
And just, he was so, nobody has ever thanked me as much as that father did at that moment. And I just had a brand new son, so it really hit me hard.
Wow. Geez.
So it depends on the situation. I've been in plenty of situations where it was obviously they were looking for money. You know, it was a scam. You know, you drive down to West LA and you see the people working the big intersections. You got three or four people, one on each side. You know, these guys are pulling their money at the end of the day. It's a tough call, but, you know, really it's a personal call.
Yeah. Well, Cliff, thanks so much for sharing those stories with us. Those are heartfelt stories. I like them. And thank you so much. We're going to see you next week. And you're going to be talking Dodgers baseball with us.
I got some Dodger stories for you. I got some Dodger social media stuff to stir up with you as well.
I love it. I can't wait. Cliff, Michael Clifford, everybody. Thank you for joining us, Mike.
Thanks. Love the show.
Thank you. You're a great man. All right. Do we have any more calls, Nick? No? Okay. All right. So we're going to go ahead and wrap it up here. Come to commercial. We'll be back in just a minute here. Nick Zicardi, Sports Illustrated writer. He's going to talk Jason Collins coming out of the closet. We'll be right back on the Sarcastic News Show.
Looking in your eyes, I was waiting with my black umbrella. Wearing your disguise, now you're only wasting time on me. I know your every move, baby girl, you used to make me nervous. Shuffling the pages, talking through a violent sleep. Whoa. The change like you're waiting for the rain, I'll be there. Standing in the shadows underneath the family tree. I know you're every move, baby girl, you gave the blood to save me. I'll never leave your side, now you'll always be a part of me.
Sarcastic News Show. Thanks to Jim in Santa Fe Springs. Thanks to Cliff for calling in, weighing in on that subject. Are we ready to go yet, Nick? We got a caller yet? Okay. All right. Nick should be calling here in just a minute. Nick Sicardi, Sports Illustrated writer, covers the Olympics for them.
Nice.
Matt, do you have any headlines that you want to read from the Huffington Post by chance?
Oh, yes. Please? So the hard-hitting news, the Huffington Post. All right, so here we go.
Just give us three good Huffington Posts. I love reading the Huffington Post because you're going to get serious mixed with ridiculous.
Yeah.
Give it to us. Give us like,
I mean,
three
these
headlines.
These are headlines as they're coming in. All right, so let's see. Nathan Dunlop is set to become the first person to be executed by the state of Colorado in 16 years.
So, wow.
There we go.
Wow, that's a real okay.
Famine in Somalia killed 133,000 children under the age of 5. So that's pretty serious.
Yeah. Not kidding.
That's pretty bummer. All right, so here's the next one. How Kesha uses her boobs to write music.
Wait, this is in consecutive order,
yes,
right?
Yes, this is actually in consecutive order. Wow. So.
Out of those three, I would actually read the last one.
Of course. Yeah.
There's pictures, right?
Right, yeah. The other stuff is sad.
It's glitter.
Well, let's see. Yeah, are there pictures? Yeah.
Ooh, actually, are there pictures? Because then I'm totally down to read it. It is depressing to read about Somalia. But,
well, yeah, we should all gather our change and dollars and send it over there.
All right, so joining us live via the Jack in the Box Hot Mess phone line, all the way from his dorm at the University of Florida. I'm kidding. He's grown up. Good friend of mine, Sports Illustrated writer, covers the Olympics. Nick Sicardi. Nick, you there?
I'm here. I miss those days at the University of Florida, though.
Dude.
That's unfortunate.
Yeah, I don't miss him. I'm a Florida State Seminole, so... Hey, man, I am glad to have you on the show. You work for Sports Illustrated, correct?
Yeah, I've been with Sports Illustrated for 3 years now.
And were you, give us like the feeling around the, around the office when you knew this story this week with Jason Collins was, no pun intended, coming out. Did you feel, was it a bigger story than most cover stories that you guys do, or... did you feel like you were doing something that was both, bigger than just sports, or describe it?
Well, I think we all knew that it is certainly a story that is going to transcend sports. It was probably the biggest story we've had since I've been at Sports Illustrated, certainly the biggest cover story we've had. It's such a big story that we decided to roll it out on the website before the magazine even came out, which is really rare for us. So I didn't really know about it until pretty much when we hit the publish button on Monday morning. So, and kind of that was kind of the sense and in the whole office if you weren't really involved in the story. You didn't really know about it until it went out. Mm-hmm. And it was kind of all hands on deck when it did come out, as far as helping everything out, because, I mean, that was pretty much what everybody was going through on our site at the time.
So this was, so you're saying that this story was bigger than the, you know, what would Ryan Lochte do story? Like, you're saying this was slightly above that in the Sports Illustrated rank and files, all right?
Just a little bit above any of our previous Ryan Lochte coverage, as much as
a very proud University of Florida graduate right there, Ryan Lochte.
Yeah, how does that make you feel,
one
Nick?
One of the few, the bright.
Are you a little embarrassed there, or?
Oh, man. Ryan Lochte has done a lot for the athletic tradition at the University of Florida. I'll just say that.
Yeah, he's also done a lot for the sorority girls over there, too.
And continues.
Yeah, his herpes are spreading, like, still. Have you ever interviewed Ryan Lochte?
Yeah, I've spoken to Ryan back when I was at the University of Florida, and then at various swimming events in the Olympics.
Is he as smart as he comes across?
Did you have to use an Etch-a-Sketch?
I will say this. I had an hour sit down with Ryan, really the only time that I've been one-on-one with him a couple of times, but the one time I sit down with him for an hour when I was at the University of Florida. So this was back in 2007-08 before the Beijing Olympics. And I will say that was one of the toughest interviews I've ever had to do, an hour with Ryan Lochte. He's not very forthcoming in his answers, and you really have to work on it as an interviewer. So he's kind of always been that way, but that's just the way he is.
Tell us, who is the best interview you've ever had? Who's the most forthcoming?
Most forthcoming interview I've ever had.
Who just gives it? Like, who do you have to
not named Jose Canseco?
Yeah. Charles Barkley, never, maybe?
Yeah.
I've never spoken to Canseco or Barkley. That is a really, really good question. Joakim Noah's up there.
I can see
I might
that.
Have to go with Joakim Noah.
Oh, man.
I'm just going to nod along and pretend like I know who that is.
you know what?
His sister's hot.
It's fine. It's a University of Florida graduate. Again, you don't need to know. It is funny. Yeah, he is, him and his sister. His sister is very attractive. He just gives it to you, huh? He just tells you everything, huh?
Pretty much. I mean, those are among the big name athletes. There are some football players that I spoke to that were not interviewed very much. There was a wide receiver at the University of Florida who referred to himself in the third person, so he was always fun to talk to. along those lines, but nobody's ever heard of these guys. So,
what was your favorite one or your most memorable one? Would that be Noah as well?
No. I guess most memorable would be one where I maybe angered a player or a coach. I called Urban Meyer on his cell phone once when he was at one of his daughter's volleyball games, and he didn't really take to that too well. Kind of hung up on me.
Kind of.
Yeah.
Yeah, we have that happen here sometimes, too. Let me ask you this. Now, going back to the Jason Collins situation, do you feel like, you know, one of the things we talk about here is really, we know that it's come full circle, you know, people coming out, people accepting gays in sports when it goes into football, when it bleeds into football. Do you think that's going to happen this year?
I'm sorry, say again, do I think they're going to be accepting of him?
Well, do you think that a gay football player will come out this year? I mean, we don't know if there's a gay football player, but again, statistically speaking, there's a good chance. Do you think that'll happen this year with you know, what is it? I guess ex-San Francisco 49er came out, now Jason Collins. Do you think that that's the next step, and will it happen this year or next year? You know, will it be soon?
Yeah, I guess the next step is either, yeah, somebody from football, the most high-profile sport, or just somebody that's currently playing. I mean, Jason Collins isn't technically playing right now. I mean, he's on the Washington Wizards roster, I guess, but he's set to be a free agent, and their season's obviously over. So you can kind of look at it one of those two ways. And we've got the soccer player, Robbie Rogers, who came out a couple weeks ago. He's been training with the Los Angeles MLS team, so he could actually become the first active team sport player on a team that's playing male to have come out. But Yeah, in an NFL sense, I'd say that we're very close, obviously closer than we've ever been before for an active player to come out. We've seen a few retired players. Do I think it's going to happen this year, this season? That's a tough call. I mean, I don't really know how anybody can really predict that. Mm-hmm. But if I had to say, I would say yes. By the end of this calendar year, there will be an active NFL player who has come out.
Really? Wow. That's a bold prediction from Nick Zicardi, Sports Illustrated writer right there.
I think the thing is it's going to be, now that the reason why Jason Collins was so big was because it was what the general reaction was from the media, from people, and, you know, I mean, everybody just, it was accepted, you know? I mean, for the most part.
There was a little bit,
but mostly positive.
Yeah. I think that was the biggest part.
Nick, do you think that next year when the NBA season starts up, you know, assuming that he gets picked up by a team, do you think that the acceptance will be greater, less than, about the same? What do you think?
I can't imagine that any of his teammates will say anything negative about it, just because that would just create a huge firestorm. Right. And even if there is somebody who is even the least bit apprehensive about it, I don't think anybody's going to come out and say anything.
Right.
I think everybody's going to be positive about it. And that's what helps him coming out right now, is that everybody in the league can prepare for not playing with a teammate who's come out, but just the scrutiny that everybody's going to be under. Everybody's going to be prepared for that and ready to face that.
Awesome. Nick, one last thing before we head out here. I just want to know, what do you have coming up? I mean, we're not really in the Olympic season now. Like, are you preparing for the Winter Olympics? Like, what kind of articles are you writing these days?
Yeah, we're starting to prepare for the Winter Olympics. We just had the 1-year outtake from the games back in February. I've been doing some different things. I'm kind of the guy at Sports Illustrated who does kind of the weird stuff. So, WrestleMania was in New York City a month ago. I covered WrestleMania for us.
Really?
That was an interesting.
It's not
experience.
A sport, though.
It's totally a sport. Don't listen to him.
Sports entertainment. The Tribeca Film Festival was just here. They had some sports.
Again, not a sport.
A future poll question, I think.
What? Oh, is
gut reaction question? Sport or not a sport?
I am going to a sport this weekend. I'm covering the Kentucky Derby for us, so I'm heading out to Louisville tomorrow, actually.
Oh, nice.
French Open coming up. I'll be there. And the Champions League soccer final.
Nice.
Wow. All right.
Awesome.
All right.
That's great.
Okay, so you established yourself a little bit there, all right?
I don't know about that, but I'm having fun.
I've always liked you, confidence. Nick, thank you very much for joining us. It was great. We have you on record, Zicardi. We have you on record as saying that there will be a gay football player who comes out this year.
My prediction based on absolutely no information at all.
It's fine. You work for Sports Illustrated. It's enough for us.
It.
This is the most trusted name in bullshit right here, okay? So that's good enough for us. Thank you, Nick. Thank you very much for joining us.
All right, thank you, Justin.
All right, have a good one. All right, and that is, guys, that is our show for tonight. Thank you so much for calling in. The thousands of folks who called in tonight. You know, I'm sorry that the lines were plugged.
We'll get you next time.
I want to give it up to our guy in the back, Nick. Another Nick. He remains slightly not too stoned for this show. Great. He always does good work for us. Go around the table here. Matt Nassie, Jake the Snake Cranny, Michael Lorenzo Porter, and our special lady friend here, Jeannie Buss.
No.
LA Laker, Jeannie Buss. Guys, thank you so much for joining us. My name is Justin Cross. You have been listening to the Sarcastic News Radio Show.
See, I've been here for 28 years, pounding sweat beneath these wheels, tattooed lines beneath our skin, no surrender, my Bobby Jean.